This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Ukrainian President Zelensky renewing his pledge to retake all of the Russian-controlled territory after Ukraine's recent advances. Russia's pop star Alla also joining her husband in protesting the war, telling social media followers that young Russian men were dying for illusory purposes. So there's been a lot of support, obviously, and it looks like they have made some progress in terms of pushback.
Yeah, we're really pleased to have with us this afternoon Yulia Mendel, former press secretary to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. She's also the author of the book, The Fight of Our Lives, My Time with Zelensky, Ukraine's Battle for Democracy, and What It Means for the World. Yulia joins us this afternoon via Zoom from New York City. Yulia, good to have you with us. How are you?
Carol, team, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. So, talk a little bit about when you were with President Zelensky, because I think obviously a lot of people learn to get to know him, you know, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But you were with him in the earlier part of his term.
Well, in my book, The Fight of Our Lives, I'm explaining how a person, Volodymyr Zelensky, turned from a comedian into a statesman and from the statesman into the leader of the country in war. And in fact, I must tell you that a lot of people really underestimated him for the reason that his image of a comedian was so strong that it was the most popular. But in fact, he is the lawyer by education, and he built a very successful business in Ukraine, which is very difficult to do in post-Soviet country, which is under Russian pressure. I think that his leadership developed during those to build this business. At the same time, I know him as a person who treats everything seriously, a very hardworking person. That's why he drinks enormous cups of coffee. And also, he is absolutely addicted to sports, what I noticed. And he was going to the gym or for jogging around the world in the trips, you know, starting his day before his political meetings from sports. And also, he was going jogging when we were traveling to Donbass zone. This is the military zone where Russia started its military actions back in 2014.
So it sounds like, Yulia, that you're not surprised by the job he has done in facing Russia as a result of their, you know, war and their invasion of Ukraine. It sounds like in many ways, none of this surprises you. I mean, because I do think initially, you're right, people thought of him as a comedian, and what kind of world leader was he going to be, certainly in the face of war. I think you told us a lot of things that kind of surprised us. What else might really surprise us about this individual?
Well, this is a very interesting question because President Zelensky came to power promising to bring peace. You know, Russia first invaded Ukraine back in 2014 by annexing Ukrainian peninsula Crimea and by starting military actions in the eastern region of Donbass. So Zelensky was traveling a lot to Donbass, and I was traveling with him in majority of his trips. And I'm telling a lot of stories from these trips in my book, The Fight of Our Lives. And it was very important to observe him during those trips because he never was actually afraid to go to the front lines just to handshake with the soldiers. And there were situations when Russians and pro-Russian separatists were trying to shell Ukrainian frontline positions. And Zelensky was going there or returning back there, fighting his personal security that did not allow the president to put his personal life under the threat. Zelensky was saying, like, as a leader, I need to be with my people and I need to show that I'm not afraid. If they are there fighting for, you know, for Ukraine, for Ukraine's territory, for Ukraine's independence, I just cannot run away, because he always repeats that politics must serve people. That's why I was not surprised that he stayed in Ukraine. I was actually surprised that he was offered to leave the country. And this famous phrase, I need ammunition, not a ride, it's actually a big performance of Ukrainian nature, but it's also a big performance of his own leadership. I think Ukrainians, and I don't think I saw that Ukrainians are praising his president, and he made really one of the hugest contributions for Ukraine staying independent country by uniting Ukrainians and by uniting the whole civilized world to help Ukraine battle Russian invasion.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
I want to get right back to who we were talking with earlier, Yulia Mendel, former press secretary to Ukraine President Zelensky. Also, the author of the new book, The Fight of Our Lives, My Time with Zelensky, Ukraine's Battle for Democracy, and What It Means for the World. Yulia, good to have you with us, joining us, I should say, from New York City, so not too far from where we are right now. Before the break, we spoke a lot about your time with Zelensky. What I want to hear about is your time over the last 9 months and what it's been like living in Ukraine as it has been under siege by Russia with Russia's invasion of the country. What do people need to know about your experience?
Oh, well, Tim, thank you for this question. And definitely I put war. I prioritized the experience of war, of Russian invasion in my book a lot to show the people why it is important to stand with Ukraine these days. I woke up, as many millions of Ukrainians, to the sound of bombs and missiles that Russia was sending to Kyiv. And you know, I started calling immediately to everyone, my family who is now in occupied territory, to my friends, learning that all the country was actually under this terrible shelling. And for us, as for Ukrainians, it is even now literally very difficult to believe in the fact that somebody, some country, can come to another independent country and repeat the horrors from the past, which is Putin doing right now. Because he is repeating the horrors from the World War II, from the artificial famine period, from the genocidal practices. And on one hand, the recent events that were happening in my country, the successful counteroffensives by Ukrainian army, they really bring a lot of celebration to Ukrainians, because we were waiting for this and we believe in Ukrainian army. On the other hand, my heart is bleeding for the reason of the news that we see there, all those mass graves, all those torture cells, all those dead kids, you know, females, like terrorized society. And it's really very hard to imagine what we will reveal when we deoccupy all other Ukraine. There is 1.2 million of Ukrainians that are right now situated under Russian occupations. And that's why we actually ask the world to stand with us as much as it's needed. Because if we speak that there is a big support of Ukraine, then we need to say that it's never enough until we stop Russia. This is the battle between democracy and autocracy, and democracy must be stronger, because we are determined to return our land and our people, but also we are determined to stand for democratic values, for the values that Ukrainians are sharing with the Western world.
In terms of President Putin's intentions, what's the conversations there on the ground in Ukraine when it comes to what his ultimate goal is and ultimate destiny is? Is this it, or is he looking to do even more?
If you recall, the first goal of Putin was actually to capture all Ukraine, to conquer the country, to kill the leader of the country and to establish his puppet. And we see that he did not manage to achieve this goal because there was underestimation of the president and underestimation of the Ukrainian people and our determination to be in this country and to defend this country, Ukraine. On the other hand, we were all today expecting his speech, and we had the sources that were saying that he was going to announce fast referenda. We see that established Russian Putin's so-called authorities in occupied Ukraine went out to say that we will conduct referenda, and everybody understands that this is going to be fake referenda, as they already did back in 2014 with the Ukrainian peninsula Crimea. So the whole world went out saying that we are not going to recognize this referenda. There was the United States, the European Union countries, and even Turkey, who said the referenda are fake. And that's why, Putin did not deliver his speech. So we are waiting for the next steps. What is more important? The Russian army is being defeated on the ground. And that's why they're shooting missiles to civilian infrastructure, hitting schools, kindergartens, medical facilities, but also electricity and heating stations. And they threaten with nuclear disaster. This is the most important thing. We are afraid that Putin can use the latest measure, which is nuclear weapons.
Well, help us understand, you know, you've been on the ground there, and how this ends. And I mean, I know it's fair to say that a lot of the world really underestimated the country's army, and the president of Ukraine. But how do you see it ending?
Well, that's an interesting question, and definitely this is not the question towards me. But the issue is that this is... there are a lot of steps that have been done to actually help Ukraine win this fight for our, you know, land and for our values. And what I see the Ukrainian leadership is going to do is to regain as much as possible of Ukrainian territories that Russia captured back after February 24. And then the winter will come. And the winter is going to be very difficult for all the world, but for Ukrainians, it's going to be more difficult, worse than for others, because Russia doesn't stop killing. But we believe that then we will need to make decisions how to move forward. The latest President Zelensky's announcement was that he doesn't exclude that probably Ukraine will need to return Crimea with the diplomatic means.
Right.
So he probably believes that we will need to use military actions where it's possible. But if Russia agrees to leave the Ukrainian territory, then we will negotiate the fate of Crimea.
Yulia, what are you hearing? We've just got about 40 seconds here. I mean, what's interesting, and unfortunately, because of this war, we all looked at Ukraine and what it was doing in terms of, you know, the technology world and information technology. And I think it's things we did not know. Now what we see is the devastation. Just got about 30 seconds left here. The rebuild, that will take years.
Yes, and we Ukrainians are already rebuilding the territories, the homes, the infrastructure, different facilities. We are like very devoted people to this, and we hope that we will start rebuilding in more substantial way already when we can take Russian army to closer to the borders.
Right.
Of course, you know, we are looking forward to this.
Well, we look forward to and fingers crossed that certainly this comes to a better outcome ultimately, and comes to a resolution sooner rather than later. Yulia, thank you so much. Yulia Mandel, former press secretary to Ukrainian President Zelensky. Her book, The Fight of Our Lives, My Time with Zelensky, Ukraine's Battle for Democracy, What It Means for the World, came out in 2021, but the English version coming out this year.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.